We're going to have a little word here by.
It's right behind you. He's right there.
Yeah.
Can you move this out so you didn't get feedback? Or?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Which is the amp? That one? Test, test. Hello. Hello. Test, test, test. Testing.
You think? Here. Right.
Test, 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 test. Test, 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 test.
Is your amp still on?
Thanks, eh? Thanks. Working on here. Hello? Test.
I think you got your limiter up or something.
Test, 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 test.
I don't know what to say.
Clear. Hello.
Here it is. And don't touch anything.
All right. Stand back a little ways. Okay, is this good? Can everybody hear me okay in the back? It's good? Okay, why don't we just start and ask for God's help. Our God and Father, we give thee thanks for this opportunity for this group to come together, and thank you for this time of these songs that we can sing, this fellowship that we can have with each other. And we just ask for your help now in this little talk, that it might touch our hearts, the hearts of the speaker, and the hearts of those listening as well. And so we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about food, physical food and spiritual food. Physical food, I've been thinking of this lately, is absolutely amazing to me that we can eat something and it goes into our body and it becomes a part of us. I mean, when we're little, we eat and we grow green beans. And hamburger becomes the cells that make up our body and grow our bones, our liver, all those things. That's absolutely amazing to me that we take things in and it becomes a part of us. And it's an absolute necessity for survival in our life. And we've lived, I think most of us here have never experienced starvation. We've all been hungry and know what that feels like, but we've never felt starvation. There was a man named Robert Falcon Scott. He was a British explorer a little over 100 years ago. He was trying to be the first to reach the South Pole. And he had been to the South or to Antarctica on a few occasions and thought he knew what it would take to get there and back. And so the race was on. He was trying to get to the South Pole, and he and a crew, a large crew, but it ended up just being five of them, went and accomplished what they wanted to do. They got to the South Pole, but unfortunately the Norwegians had planted a flag there about a month before. So they were defeated in a certain way, and they I think took a few scientific example or samples, snapped a few photos, and had 800 miles to walk back to get to their ship. Now, on the way back, they encountered some health problems with some of the men. One of the men in particular, he died on the way back, and so they had less men to haul their fuel and food. They had laid out caches of food along the route so that they would have things to eat along the way. And when things were starting to get pretty bad, they were really needing to get to the next cache, and a blizzard blew in. They were about 11 miles away. They set up a camp and tried to weather it out, and the days went by and the blizzard never stopped. The men started dying, and we believe that Robert, according to his journals that he kept through the whole time, was the last one to go. They all died of starvation. They were 11 miles away from food, and they couldn't make it. And so without food, there is no life. And this can be applied to us spiritually. And there's a verse, those of you who have Bibles can turn. If not, that's okay. John chapter 6 and verse 48. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." That some of the verses that follow are a little bit interesting, where he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That doesn't sound right to us when we hear it. But the Lord is not speaking of what we eat with our mouths from day to day to sustain our physical bodies. He's talking about spiritually. And have each one of you fed on Christ? Have you taken him as your Savior, spiritual wellness, and make it a part of you? Have you taken the Lord as your Savior? That's important. That's very important. The most important spiritual food that you could eat, the Lord Jesus, his flesh and his blood, as these verses say. And verse 53 says, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." So just like those guys in Scott's party, no food, no life. It's the same with us spiritually. If we don't have Christ, we don't have life. I trust and I hope that most, if not all of you, have taken that step and accepted the Lord as your Savior. And if we have, the story doesn't stop there. We don't stop eating there. We need to continue eating to sustain our spiritual lives. And you know, how do we do this? How do we do this practically? How do we feed on the Lord Jesus, his flesh and his blood? How do we feed on this daily to sustain our spiritual lives? And I just have a few suggestions of things I've heard from other people. The RPMs of Scripture would be reading. If we're to have faith, the just live by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So reading is important. P, prayer. The Lord Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to talk with Him on a daily basis. He wants us not just to ask for the things that we want, although He does care about that very much. But He wants us to talk about our feelings, how we feel about Him, and thank Him for all that He's done. He wants to hear that from us. That's another thing to sustain our spiritual lives. And M would be maybe meditation. And that might entail, you know, when we eat food, it's a physical thing. It goes into our stomach, but then it becomes a part of us. And maybe that's what meditation on the Scriptures would speak of. We just read the Scriptures. That's good. That's great. But if we really, really ponder something and make it our own, that's really important too. And so I'd encourage each of you to read and pray and meditate each day. And that would be tremendously helpful in our spiritual lives. And here's an exercise. I heard this originally with Don Lamb in Vancouver, Washington. And I heard it, and I didn't apply it right away. It was years later that I actually went ahead with this exercise, and it was very helpful to me, and I hope I can help some of you out with this too. But he said, take a piece of paper or a spreadsheet, whatever you want, and line out your day, midnight to midnight, and write down all the things that you have to do from a day. You got to sleep, all right? Some people need more than others, 8 hours. So you block out 8 hours of your day. There you go. There's sleep. We have to eat. We have to go to school. We have to go to work. There's a lot of obligations in life. So you write out your whole day, all those obligations, and then go back and review that and see how much time during that day is spent on the Lord's things, spiritual things. He wants our time, and it's very healthy for us to have some time in there. We all have obligations in life. We can't read the Bible 24 hours a day. We have to work. We have to go to school. We have a lot of those things to do, but we can make time. We're extremely busy in our society, and so it's good to line out these things. When I did that, I thought, wow, there's not a whole lot of time that I've put on there for the Lord's things. So then I thought, well, what can I do? What can I do to try to rearrange a little bit to adjust that schedule? And that's going to be different for every one of you. But I'd encourage you to do that exercise, to line out your day. And it's a personal thing. You don't need to share it with others, but it's a good exercise. And another thing, speaking of the busyness of life, there was a Tim Roach had a talk several years back that had a profound effect on my life. And he was talking about the subtleties of Satan and how Satan works. He does missionary work in Africa, and the way Satan works over there is much different than the way Satan works in our lives here in these favored countries. Satan over there is much more in your face. The enemy, witch doctors and seances, these things are out in the open. These demonic rituals and things like that. It scares the people. They're scared into following Satan because they think if they don't do certain things, then they're going to fall under certain powers and things like that. I'm not getting that all quite right, but that's the gist of it. Satan is very in your face in those countries. Where in here, we don't really see things like that. The media maybe takes those things and makes movies out of them, and it's an entertainment thing here in our country. It's a very real thing. But what Satan wants to do with us is take our time. He wants to make us so busy that we have no time for the Lord. He wants to, you all know how many distractions we have in our lives. I don't need to point them out. I have a ton of distractions. We all have a ton of distractions. But when Tim was saying that, I just had a lot of thoughts about, wow, how much has Satan crept into my life with certain things, just certain things that I thought were little that became bigger things that just robbed me of time with the Lord. And that was an eye-opening talk for me. And so I just reiterate a couple of those things to you. Feed your spiritual lives, reading, prayer, meditation. Maybe take some time to lay out your day, see how maybe we could better arrange things to give the Lord a little more time, and to maybe think about how has Satan been subtle in your lives and letting things creep in that you don't maybe even know are there. Those are good things to think of. So anyway, I appreciate all of you listening for this little bit, and let's just give thanks. We'll give thanks. Looks like there's some refreshments as well, and then we'll be done. Okay. Our God and Father, we give Thee thanks for this little time that we could have. We thank Thee for giving us spiritual food in the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that we can feed on Him, His work, and what he's done for us and how much we appreciate these things. And we just pray that you would have an effect on each one here, young and old, and that has been said many times this conference, that we might go home another way. And so we just give you thanks too for these snacks that we can have now, and that we can enjoy these friendships and fellowships that are being formed here as well. We give thee thanks for all you've done, and we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.